invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Hopefully you have your Bible there. There should be one handy with you. I'll invite you to follow along this morning as we prepare our hearts in this opening part of the service for receiving and celebrating the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here this morning. A lot of times we begin with announcements. Sometimes we begin with prayer, but this morning we're going to start with Scripture. Pray that Scripture would be something we could meditate upon. And then we're going to sing a song, Lead Me to Calvary. That's where we want God to take us, lead us to Calvary. And then with that in our hearts and minds, we're going to have a time of prayer, opportunity to examine ourselves, listen to the Holy Spirit if He reveals anything that would hinder us from fellowshipping with the Lord during this communion. And then we'll have our men come to pass out the elements here this morning. So good, again, to have you here. I don't see any really visitors here. Again, we mentioned Miss Emma up here. This was a friend from back in Asheville that was able to go to the winter retreat with Emily and from the Philadelphia area. I think her family is going to be coming in here a little bit there. They had a little trip this morning from Philly to come, and so you'll probably get to meet them here certainly after the service. But before we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read two verses, one in the Gospel, both in the Gospels, just to prepare our hearts. What we're about to do this morning, some churches call a sacrament. We do not. Sacrament usually is a definition of something that you do and command that brings extra grace or an extra blessing from the Lord. We don't believe that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, but merely a command, an ordinance God gave the church. The church being saved folks, those that know the Lord. We often call this the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. Communion. I want you to think of that. When you talk about supper, when you invite a family over, that's for fellowship. You sit around the table. It centers around food. There's talking. There's laughter. There's praying. It has the idea of fellowship when you have a meal. It's called communion. Communion means to fellowship, to commune together, to have a relationship. So why do we do this thing called communion? Why do we do the Lord's Supper? Well, I want to take us back to the upper room. There in Luke chapter 22, you're in 1 Corinthians 11, and that's where you should be. But in Luke 22, the Bible says that when the hour was come, he, Jesus, sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And when the hour, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Did you hear what the Lord said? With desire. I long to fellowship with you and partake of this Passover. And then, of course, in Mark chapter 14, as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So as we look back here today to prepare our hearts for receiving communion, the Lord's Supper, Christ expressed his great desire to be with his disciples there and to celebrate the Passover. Now, the Passover had been celebrated for 1,500 years at that point. All the Jews knew it well. But then Christ did something different, we know. He took the cup, he took the fruit of the vine, he took the bread, the unleavened bread, and he broke it, and he did something not traditional that caught the disciples off guard. And really, the beginning of what we do today, the Lord's Supper. And we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's where all of us are, that's where you're at. I encourage you to look at that with me. Here in 1 Corinthians, actually I'm not even there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll let you get there, I lost my spot. You say, well, that's nice, he did it in the upper room with 11 disciples. Why do we do it? Well, we wouldn't do it unless the Lord had given it and commanded it to the church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the Apostle Paul writing to a church in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord. Now, what's Paul? Paul's an apostle. What's an apostle? A commissioned one, a sent one. There's no apostle. I'm not an apostle. You're not an apostle. Right? You're only apostle in the days of the Lord. The Lord commissioned and made you an apostle for his purpose. Paul was an apostle, and he says, I, as an apostle, received of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed this to me as an apostle, as we lay the foundation of the church upon Christ, that which I also delivered unto you. He commanded me to deliver it unto you, the church. The church is those that are saved, the called out assembly. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So
What are we doing? We're spending a few moments here to prepare ourselves to receive communion. Here at IBC, we just brought IBC church history together in Sunday school this morning. Why do we do? The church declares in the Constitution that we celebrate the Lord's Supper one time a month during the morning service. First Sunday. So today's the first Sunday. We celebrate it right here at the beginning. Sometimes it's hard to do. You're coming in, you're going from Sunday school class, and it's hard to get in the right frame of mind. So in a second, we're going to sing a hymn to prepare our hearts. We're going to have a time of prayer to prepare our hearts. And the men will come. I trust our hearts will be prepared. But the Passover was only for Jews. The church is made up of all people. It says, no, there's a wall broken down. No, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, all in Christ, one body. So we don't celebrate the Passover as the Jews because we're not Jews and because that was under Old Testament law. Something new was done as Christ accomplished salvation on the cross, and that was he instituted for the church, the called out assembly of saved believers, an ordinance called the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Table, communion. It's only for believers. You may be here today, and we're glad to have you. We always welcome visitors. It's open to any believer. You don't have to be a member of IBC. But you do need to be a member of God's family. You need to have a Bible testimony. You've trusted Christ as Savior through grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not trusting anything else. You have a Bible testimony. You know Christ as your Savior. There was a time you called upon the Lord. Secondly, you are walking with the Lord in obedience because that's what fellowship is communion. Hey, when I was a disobedient young person, I didn't fellowship with my parents. I stayed in my room. I avoided my parents. It was uncomfortable. Why? Because I disobeyed. I wasn't right with mom and dad. I argued with my sisters. We weren't getting along well. Broken fellowship. It didn't kick me out of the family, but it affected my relationship, my fellowship with my family. The same is true of God's people. We're saved. That's wonderful. But we need to be walking in close communion and fellowship with the Lord. Are you? The Bible says to examine yourself. And that's why the scripture says a little bit later in 1 Corinthians 11, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let a believer examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We've spent some time on that. That's a very important truth from the Word of God. We are to know the purpose of communion and the Lord's Supper. A look back, a look now, and a look ahead. Remembering Calvary, which we're about to sing, lead me to Calvary. Remembering when it was we called upon the Lord. I pray as we sing that hymn, you'll remember when it was you saw the answer was at Calvary. That you trusted Christ and called upon Him for salvation and forgiveness of sins and that He saved you. I pray you'll sing that with a heart of reverence, honoring the Lord. I pray you'll remember His death, His burial, His resurrection. The fact that He ascended to heaven and He gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. The fact that He said He could come back at any moment to remove and snatch up and rapture His church. That could be today. We're to celebrate this until He comes. Until He comes. And it is His desire that you fellowship with Him in this. It is not His desire that any of His children continually put off the Lord's Supper month after month after month. That itself would be disobedience. It is His desire that every one of His children walk close with Him, be in close communion with Him, and fellowship with Him as we do this morning. I trust you know Christ as Savior. You can trust Him even today. I trust you're walking with Him in the joy of the Lord. I trust you have sweet fellowship and you are desiring to fellowship with Him this morning. I trust that you are. We're going to go ahead and sing our first hymn, and Shane's going to come, grab the hymnal, and I pray we'd sing this from our hearts for the Lord, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer.
That'll be hymn number 235. Would you stand with me as we sing? 235. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me.
Have a word of prayer and then just a brief moment of examination. Again, glad to have you here. Good to have the Hefner family here. These are Emma's parents and children from Philly. Glad to have them visiting with us today. Again, our communion is an open communion in some ways. Close, not closed, but open to all believers. Have a testimony of trusting Christ as Savior, walking with the Lord. You're certainly welcome to join us. We invite you to join us. We just sang, Lest I Forget. Why did the Lord institute this? Because we forget. We forget Calvary. We forget Christ. We forget the finished work on the cross. We forget how good God was. We forget all of those. So we do this on a regular basis, and we're glad to have each one of you here. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to have probably a minute of just some silence. You're welcome to meditate on the Lord, read Scripture, pray silently, however you'd like to do that, just a time of self-examination. I trust the Spirit of God bears witness in your heart that you're His. And that you have a relationship with the Lord that would allow you to participate in this today, not hinder you to do so. So let's pray. Father, as we begin, in a way, this morning service, we know that around the United States at different times, there are local assemblies of believers, some smaller than this, some larger, some meeting in a building like this, some perhaps in a home, some in a storefront, maybe even outside. But yet they gather together to honor you, to worship you as you've commanded. Perhaps they're celebrating communion as we do today, as you've commanded. Lord, we're grateful for the privilege to not forget, to remember. Lord, as those of us were saved, but yet we still have the flesh with us till heaven, Lord, we're prone to forget. We're prone to live in the flesh. Lord, I pray that we've come this morning to worship you. I pray we understand the wonderful privilege to commune with you during this time of the Lord's Supper. Lord, that we would not forget Calvary. We'd not forget the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came to earth and put on flesh, yet without sin. Who lived and walked among us, yet without sin. Who willingly gave himself as a sacrificial lamb on Calvary for us. Lord, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins to wash it away. Lord, who rose again the third day. Lord, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, you've also told us that we're coming back soon. Lord, we're grateful for that. We need not want not to forget that. We thank you, Lord, for that great sacrifice that you did with your body and the blood. We're thankful without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Lord, I pray everyone here today has trusted Christ as Savior. And I trust that every person today is living in light of the Word of God, harboring no anger, no bitterness, no revenge. Lord, not living in the light of the world, loving the world and the things of the world, but Lord, we're here today to fellowship with you. Lord, I pray that each one today could participate in the Lord's Supper as a child of God walking in obedience. Lord, as we examine ourselves, please show us if there be any here today that should not participate. And Lord, may we be able to just celebrate in this wonderful time. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have just a moment of reflection and I'll invite the men to come. All right, men will come, they'll pass out the elements, and then we'll read some scripture and have a word of prayer. Amen. And as the scripture says, and when he had given thanks, he took the bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We'll have Mike, I think, a microphone's here, just to give a word of thanks to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you did. We love you because you first loved us, and Father, that you would care enough to send Christ to shed his blood and have his body broken for us, Lord, is humbling, and we do thank you and praise you for it. We thank you for this that we're about to partake, and help us to be in deep remembrance of what Christ did for us at Calvary. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Take, eat, in remembrance of me. Amen. And the Bible says, after the same manner, also he took the cup, fruit of the vine, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You ask Ben.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you give us to pay remembrance of what you have done, Lord, to send your only begotten Son to shed his blood and body on Calvary for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice, Lord. Pray, Lord, each day that we might be about your business, sharing the gospel with those around us, Lord, that they also might partake, Lord, of that gift of salvation, Lord, there on Calvary, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord, and we give you praise. Keep it in the forefront of our memory each day that we are unworthy, but you have given us such a great sacrifice, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In remembrance of me. Amen. Shane's going to stand. We'll sing just one stanza of a hymn as they did in the garden, and then the men will come around and gather the cups.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, we'll be taking our hymn books and turning to 251. We'll remain seated as we sing 251, Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory carried a burden, a staggering weight. I struggled for freedom but could not escape. I trembled and cried at the thought of my fate. What must I do to be saved? I desperately searched for relief from my pain, but found that man's wisdom was useless and vain. Is there not a power that can break every chain? What must I do to be saved? Jesus' blood flows from Calvary, breaking Satan's power, setting captives free. Greatest gift of the greatest love, heaven paid the price with Calvary's blood. Heaven paid the price with Calvary's blood. I saw Jesus bleeding, the cross bore his stain. The man standing by were all mocking his name. But then, yes, I heard it, he called out my name. Kneel at the cross and be saved. I fell at the feet of the one hanging there. Oh, Savior, forgive me, I cried in despair. My burden fell off, Jesus answered my prayer. Kneel at the cross and be saved. Jesus' blood flows from Calvary, breaking Satan's power, setting captives free. Greatest gift of the greatest love, heaven paid the price with Calvary's blood. Heaven paid the price with Calvary's blood.
You here? Open your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans there in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Sixth book in the New Testament. Romans chapter 13 this morning. Romans chapter 13. As Shane was singing that song, that's right out of our hymn book, written by Ron Hamilton, better known as Patch the Pirate. And that's based on Acts 16, the Philippian jailer coming out to Paul and Silas and saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know what they didn't say? They can preach a message on what they didn't say. Join the church. Get baptized. Be a good person. Do the rosary. Say the Mass. Participate in the Lord's Supper. Try your best. What did they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not just a mental agreement like, I believe in Jesus. You hear people say that all the time. I believe in God. I believe in heaven and hell. We'd quote James 2, right? The devils believe also in God. They tremble. There's not just a mental belief. And agree, oh, yeah, sure, I believe in those kind of things. There's a saving faith where you take the Word of God and you believe the Word of God that you are a sinner, lost in your sins, hopeless, not able to save yourself in any way. You realize the truth of the Bible that God loved you and so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you realize the Bible says to turn from your sins, to repent. Turn from your sins and your ways and turn to God. Turn to Calvary. Call upon Him for salvation. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And by the way, they were talking to a pretty nasty, dirty rascal here, this Philippian jailer. I don't think he was known as a good man or a moral man. I don't think he had done a bunch of good works. They didn't try to clean him up and say what a lot of people today by the social gospel. He said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. If you're here today, I've never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. I didn't say trust the church. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ, the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. You need to do that. Call upon the Lord today. Call even during the service. Don't even wait till the end. I'm not preaching on this text today, preaching on Romans 13. I'm preaching to Christians today, to believers. But I'm going to give everybody here an opportunity, those watching from home, to trust Christ as Savior. Please don't sit there and think that you'll be okay. There's been folks who've died in services. There's been folks who fell over. We're not here to scare anybody into heaven or get you out of hell. Call upon the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. If God's been working in your heart Sunday after Sunday, even if you haven't been in the service, God, the Word of God's been pricking your heart. The Holy Spirit's been impressing upon you. Maybe that you're afraid, you're scared. There's a lot of reasons. I don't know about it. And the devil, I don't know what to say. Did you say the right words? What will people think? You're too young. You're too old. You're too wicked. It'll never stop. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Tell him exactly what the Bible says. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. You can do that even in the quietness of your heart, even during this very service today, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're in Romans 13. This message this morning, though, is in its entirety to those who are already saved, to those who know the Lord, to those who are saved, the redeemed, the born again, the brethren, the beloved, the saints, a lot of different names in the Bible, for those who know Christ. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You have a purpose. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. You are a child of God. You're in God's family. And that is an everlasting relationship that never ends because of the promises of the Word of God. The message today is for you, is for me. Romans chapter 13. As you know, we have a new theme this year. The time is now. We'll get the new banners up. The banners are in. And just because the old banners are going down doesn't mean we're not interested that all have heard. That theme still continues, all right? That doesn't get replaced, all right? We just add another one to that. Till all have heard, hey, the time is now. Let's make that one of the great things that we're attempting to do. But this verse, Romans 13, we've looked at before. We'll not be here the whole time, but I want to challenge a little bit different of a message this morning. It's going to be a very different ending, all right? And a very different application today here at the end. So I hope you'll listen well. May the Holy Spirit of God work in your hearts. Let's read Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13. Who's the audience here? God's people. This portion of Scripture is for the saved. It's written to the church at Rome. It's God's people. All right? Anytime we read in the Bible about the church, it's always talking about saved people. Always. Today, when we say the church, we get all kind of, who knows what we're talking about. We're thinking of buildings on corners, denominations, groups. No. The word church is the set apart, the called out assembly. Those who've called upon the Lord and trusted Him. You've become the body of Christ. You belong to the body. You're part of the bride. But specifically, most of the time, it's talking about an actual local church. A local assembly of believers who regularly meet together and gather to do the work of the church. And so here in Romans 13, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to a group of believers that meet in Rome. Rome, the headquarters of the Roman Empire. Not an easy place to be a believer. A lot of things going on in Rome. Very wicked, vile city. And so what is the admonition from the Lord for them? It's the same admonition, I believe, for us today. Romans 13, verse 11, and that. You can just put your name in there. Put your name in there. Put Christian, church, and that, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Isn't that true? Now that salvation is our deliverance. Is our deliverance from this earth, from our body of sin, nearer than when you first trusted Christ? Absolutely. It's like when you're on a road trip, you know. Our trip used to be about 9-10 hours every time we'd go from Asheville up to Hershey, Lancaster, to visit my parents. And as Nick and Amanda know well, going through Virginia, I-81, that's a long part. That's 5 hours if you go right there, Johnson City, the whole way up through Winchester. And the girls would always be like, are we still in Virginia? All right. Where are we at? Now, my answer as a dad would be, hey, Dad, how much longer? I'd say, we're a lot closer than when we started. Five hours. But 5 hours are already passed. We're much closer than when we began. All right. That doesn't always help you when you're driving long. But hey, the Bible's saying, listen, it's time, Christian. Now's the time. Our salvation, our deliverance from this sin-cursed world, our deliverance from our flesh and our body of sin is nearer than when we first believed. That ought to bring us joy. That ought to bring us hope. It ought to stir some things up. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, O Christian. I added that. And make not provision for the flesh, O Christian, I added that, to fulfill the lust thereof. There's an urgency here. It's just as urgent now as it was in the days of the church at Rome. Cast off the works of darkness. Those things that are... have to do with the old man before you were saved. Put on Christ. Put on the armor of light. The time is now. I want to again say this. There's no greater program, if I can use the word program, designed and instituted by God for believers than the church. Now we know that the family, marriage and the family and the home were instituted in Genesis chapter 2, and that precedes the church by some 4,000 years. That's dear to the heart of God, and that's vitally important because churches are made up of families, and churches are made up of homes and husbands and wives, and that is a sub-foundation, we could say, over top of Christ, who is the foundation and the cornerstone. And the Bible then says above that is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and probably on that we'd say are Christian homes and families and marriages and built upon the Word of God. That makes up really what a church is, and that's God's program for the day in which we live. That's the one that God's designed and instituted for the day and this dispensation, we would say, in which we live, the local church. God has a purpose and a plan for the local church. And that local assembly of believers that gather together weekly, regularly, some even daily, to do the things that God desires for the church to do, to worship the Lord. Did you come today to worship the Lord? Even now, where are your thoughts? Even now, you must discipline yourself, the mind, the thought life, the heart, to focus on God in every word. Not be distracted with problems and things you're thinking about you've got to deal with tomorrow. And finances and school and schedule and February and health. And to bring every thought into submission to focus on why we're here today. Did you come today to worship the Lord? Is He being worshipped even now in your heart? Did you come today to magnify Him? Did you come to glorify Him? Because glorify means to make God big, to magnify Him. So every time you and I come to assemble together, did you make God big today? Did you magnify your Savior? Did you talk much on Him? Do you love Him? Is He the key to everything you do, or do you spend your time in pettiness, talking about others, things? Or do you magnify the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you magnify Him as you sang those hymns? Did you magnify Him by hanging on the words of Scripture? Was He magnified by your participation joyfully in the Lord's Supper? Will He be magnified after the service? By your spirit, by your love for others, the love of the brethren, greeting of visitors, the hospitable spirit, the joy of the Lord. Greeting children and others. Will He be magnified and glorified today? Will He be worshipped today through the local church? We come together to make disciples. We're excited to do that. To impact the younger generation. To proclaim and preach the gospel to every person. To teach scriptural truth in our classes and from the pulpit. To edify and build up one another. To encourage and comfort. Admonish if need be. To use our spiritual gifts and not let them just sit gathering dust in a on a shelf so people can look at, like we do with many artifacts and antiques. Have you come today to serve and worship? Did you ask God before you came to church, God, I want to serve someone today. I want to minister today. I want to lose myself and serve others today. God, did you prepare your heart in any way today? It's not always easy to do that. We gather together for those purposes, to contend for the faith, to preach sound doctrine, to look forward till He comes, to be faithful. That's the program that God has designed in this New Testament age in which we live to be done through the local church, which is made up of saved, baptized believers until he comes. Now that ought to get you excited. That ought not, we not, you have to use a cattle prod. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's the way it is. And then those who get excited, people, I think that's fake. I think they're just doing that. What's wrong with those people? It's called the joy of the Lord. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's called walking with the Lord in the light of His Word, despite problems and challenges. It doesn't mean there's no health challenges. It doesn't mean there's not things weighing you down. It doesn't mean there aren't problems. But you're serving the Lord in the light of His Word, and you're excited, and you understand the program and time in which we live and the purpose, and you say, glory, hallelujah, and I'm not going to let everything defeat me, and there's victory in the cross, and I'm going to stay near the cross. I'm going to be busy about the Master's work and the program that He's got designed today and not get discouraged. And the Bible makes it very clear. It declares that the church, it's Christ's church. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Scripture says that Christ is the head in Ephesians chapter 5. He's the head and He's the cornerstone. Scripture declares that He loves the church and gave Himself for it, Ephesians chapter 5. Scripture declares that the church in 1 Timothy is the pillar and ground of the truth. Scripture declares that Christ is returning at any moment for the church, the bride, the body of believers, at any moment to snatch them out before the wrath which is to come, which is a whole different program that God has during the tribulation period. The moment the church is removed and all believers are snatched out, the church is over. There's no more church. It's over. The church age is done. The program is finished. That part of God's plan and program is no longer will be being done. We've looked at that even in the book of Revelation as the gospel will still be preached and proclaimed in the tribulation. Yes, there will still be multitudes trusting Christ. Praise God. When you look in the book of Revelation, who's doing the proclaiming? It's 144,000 Jewish evangelists. It's the two Old Testament, perhaps, prophets or witnesses. It's the everlasting gospel preached by the angels, not the church, because the church is no longer there. Now, there may be people that get saved and gather together in little groups, but it won't be really what we would call a New Testament church as God necessarily has designed. And so what is God's purpose and plan for the church? Romans 13, 11, knowing the time. I want you to understand, if today, during the invitation, boom, the rapture happened, At 1 second after the rapture, there would be not one saved person on the face of the earth. Not one. You get scared to go out sometimes even here? A lot of Christians in America, a lot of churches, a lot of good people. If I don't go out at night, lock the doors. You can't go in some of these cities. It's rough. It's too dangerous. Even our neighborhoods. Can't trust her. What about when there's not one saved person on the face of the earth? What about when there's not one true Bible teaching, preaching, New Testament local church? None. What about the Holy Spirit, who's always been present because He's God, removes Himself, the restrainer of sin and the restrainer of the mystery of iniquity? And you say, wonder why Satan? Because it's the Holy Spirit restraining him, holding that back until the church is removed. And just as the Holy Spirit came down in Acts 2 and the church began, the Holy Spirit will leave with the church. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit won't be active. The Holy Spirit's always active. He's God. Just like in the Old Testament, though, it'll be different times. So what's the time? The time is now. That's why the constant urgency in the Scripture. That's why, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I come quickly. That means at any moment is what it means. It means that we have a purpose and a job to do, and we're not to waste time. And there's no retirement for the Bible-believing Christian from the work of God. And health may keep you from doing a lot of things. We have many shut-ins that are watching. They may not be able to go on visitation. They may not be able to be here in person. They may not be able to teach a class like they did years ago. But God still has a purpose for those people. They have a vibrant prayer ministry. They have an encouragement ministry. They can do a card ministry. They can minister to missionaries. There's many things that they can do. God has a purpose for them. It's not shutdown time. And God has a purpose for each one of us that are saved, and the time is now. So I want to ask you a question, because this is the thrust of the message. How involved are you with God's program? How involved are you personally? You can't answer for your wife, can't answer for even your kids necessarily. Old mom and dad, you obviously, hopefully at this point, your children, hey, we're going to church. Even if they don't want to. Hey, we're going to soul winning. Hey, we're going to the missions conference. I mean, yeah, okay, you have the absolute right to do that, and you ought to do that. All right? Hey, we'll do this when we go to restaurants. Hey, put that back. You're going to get salad first. Really? Well, you can't make them do that. Of course you can. All right, you put that back. You're not having that. Yeah, of course you can. Hey, we're going to church. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we're going to do. You can clean your room. Absolutely. So in some way, the children may do what the parents do. But I want to ask you, how involved are you with God's program? Let's narrow it down. How involved are you with the local church right here at IBC? Now, how involved are you guys? The Hefner, they don't go to this church. This is not their local church, but they have a local church that they go to. How involved are they? Maybe some of you are just visiting today, and that's perfectly fine. How involved are you in the church in which you belong to? Which I believe God wants us to and be part of that. How involved are you in those things? Let me use another word. How connected are you? How connected are you to the Lord and His church? How connected? If I used a couple terms, which one would best describe your involvement? You. Casual. You're casually involved. Comfortably involved. Would you be more, would casual best fit you? Would comfortable? Would committed? Would consecrated? You know, which one would best fit your involvement in the local church and God's program for what He's got for the church? In proclaiming and preaching the gospel and teaching the scriptures, in mentoring and the younger generation or new believers and discipling, making disciples, in getting out the gospel through the local church, in visiting and ministering to the saints, in contending for the faith, in all those things we said, edifying believers, using your spiritual gifts, praying with one another. I mean, all of the things that a church does, how connected, how involved would you be? That's the question you have to answer. In anything in life, relationships, right? Many of you, we say, well, when did you meet? When did you first see each other, for those that are married? When did you spot each other? And many will say, well, we were just friends. We were in school together. We were in second grade together. He pulled my hair. He spit at me. We didn't like each other. All right? Even in high school, you know, they dated somebody, I dated somebody. We were friends for a long time. Or, I knew back in first grade art class. All right, whatever. All right? We have relationships, right? You have some friends that you know, they're just acquaintances. You know, an acquaintance is just somebody. There's a lot of people go to church and everybody's an acquaintance. I don't know who that is. How long you been in church? 33 years. You don't know who that is? Well, that's our first time visitor. Okay. Who's that person? Relationships. You have casual acquaintances. These people you know, they're in your class, you work with them, you might say hi, you don't really know them more than that. Then you have deeper relationships, right? You have friends, people you might invite to a birthday party, a wedding. You have a little deeper connection to them. I mean, there's different levels of that. We understand that. There's good friends. There's best friends. There's committed friends. And that's based on your relationship, how much you open up, what you share, how much time spent together. You sacrifice for one another. You trust for one another. That's the same thing that goes in churches. Same thing in many things in life. Sports world, teams, people. Guys, people on a team, they come to practice every once in a while. You know? People that just come. You know what? There's different levels. And what's the difference in the levels? Usually it's sacrifice, commitment, time involved, and faithfulness will determine the strength of the relationship. I mean, I coached for years. Had some great players. Hardly would come to anything. You couldn't get them. You couldn't even play them. All right? Very talented, but they were very inconsistent. Couldn't keep their grades up. Couldn't come. Forgot stuff all the time. Always this. You know what? I mean, they can be on the team. They can go to practice. They can run the inbounds plays. You can work on all that stuff, but they don't play that much. They sit on the bench. They do have a jersey. They're on the team. They can come to games, go eat at Wendy's. Get some benefits. You make the tournament. Maybe even picture in a trophy. You know, woo. But they're not really. I mean, they're on the team, but they're not really. It's not the same level. And there's those that are just fully committed. Right? Some people come early, stay late, practice hard, do stuff all the time, get the drills down, love it, help put the equipment out, take it back, coach anything we can do. I mean, boom, committed, sacrifice, time spent in the game, playing. Yeah. It's the same way with churches. There are people who are casual. Again, depends on how long you've been saved. You walk with the Lord, new believer, that's one thing. Some that are just very comfortable the way we are, don't need to change anything, everything's fine. Don't rock the boat. Don't keep me accountable. A lot of people just want to go to church and they don't want the shepherd to keep the sheep accountable. They don't like that. You know, they just want to come. Just don't ask me how I'm doing spiritually. You don't want to check on my kids. I just want to come to church. All right, well, that's not the way the Bible teaches as far as the role of the shepherd. Are you comfortable? Are you casual? Are you committed? Are you consecrated? What words best describe you? You're in the stands watching. You're on the bench, but not in the game. You're in the game on occasion. You're in the game always. Coach, don't take me out. I'm all in. Now, there's different levels based on where you're at, but there's a lot of believers that are in the stands. You ever notice about... Now, before I got into coaching, before I did some reffing, when you're in the stands, now that's a lot of opinions in the stands, isn't there? You ever notice that? Everybody knows what the coach should do. That was a terrible play. Parents yelling, people yelling, ah! You know, the refs never do anything right. Oh, whoa, whoa, I like to say, whoa. Have you ever coached? Now, I guarantee you coach a year. You no longer are going to do it. You ever ref? You get out there and get refing a little bit. You're like, whoa, this is not easy. and so usually I go to games. I'm not really, I stay bad. I've been there before. I've made bad decisions. I'm not going to question everything the coach does and the ref does there until you've done it. Until you've been fully in it, involved in the game. Anybody can sit in the stands and criticize the coach and the players and the people and the refs and the food. You're just in the stands. You can sit on the bench and be a little more involved, but you're still just on the bench. Some people are on the bench. You know what happens sometimes? That's a great thing. You look down and you say, hey, you, come on in. They go, ah! Me? Not me, coach. I want to go in. What do you mean? You're like, well, I thought you came out to play. What are you on the team for? Well, not to play in the game. Not right now. I'm not ready for that. I'm scared to death. What if I mess up? What if I, what did you join the team? Well, my friends are on the team. Get out of school early. Don't have to take the test the next day. Go out to eat. Go to the tournament in the next state. There's a lot of reasons people go out for that. Not be at home as often. Not around my siblings. There's a lot of reasons people play sports. All right? Not everybody's interested in playing. You, in the game. But then there's those that say, yes. Yes. Hey, are you in the game spiritually? Did you used to be in the game? Maybe you're retired now. Maybe you spend your time just talking about your jerseys and your trophies spiritually. All the things you used to do. All the victories. No, there's the time for that perhaps. You're at the twilight of your life. Health doesn't allow you to do that. Are you in the game? Are you in the stands? Do you always have an opinion for everything that's done, but you're not really involved? That doesn't mean that things can't be improved and we don't make mistakes. Churches and ministries. Which word best describes you? You know, I don't use illustrations tons, but I brought some rope up here, a little string, a little bit of yarn, and What I thought was this, and I won't really have anybody come up here. I could call some of these kids and be like, no, Dad, don't call me. My daughter's probably like, no, Dad. All right. Different strings here. You know, if every string, if I had you come up here, and I thought about doing this, but I won't because I didn't test it ahead of time, and no kid signed a waiver, but thought about having a kid right here and then give them these and then just have them start leaning back and see how many strings hold them. All right, but that's just in my mind as a former youth pastor. I didn't work that out. All right, but just say, all right, here we go. How many strings? And maybe they've got 10 different strings. It's a person that every one of these strings represents something you're involved in the church. You're very involved in this. And I don't even just mean ministries. I just mean patterns. Like we'll just say a man. Sir, do you come in any regular pattern to men's prayer breakfasts? Okay, you do. Here's a string. You have an attachment to the church. Men, do you come in any way to any of the pastor's fellowships? And we know not everybody can come to these. Oh, you do. We have a connection through that. You're connected a little bit more. Sir, do you come in any way to any of the work days here and community days to help out the church? Great. You have another connection. Sir, do you come in any way on Wednesday nights and pray with the brethren? Oh, that's another connection. You know, we can go on and on, right? We can give different ropes to represent different connections. Now, not everybody can come to everything, and we understand that. But, you know, the church has a calendar. We have a lot of things. So I want to ask you, how connected are you to the ministries here? Do you come to men? You come to men's prayer breakfast? I don't even come to all of them. Do you have a pattern on coming, though? Do you have a desire to meet with men, young men, pray, be in the Word of God, have that bond? Do you come to the business meeting once a year, twice a year? Do you come to, we could ask teenagers, teens, do you come to Teen Sunday School? Are you connected with Teen Sunday School, Wednesday night youth group? Do you come to the activities? Do you go to winter retreat, summer camp? Are you connected as a teenager with most of the program? Kids, we could say Kids for Truth, Little Tykes. I mean, parents, you bring them here to those kind of things, Sunday School program. We could say ladies, how about the ladies? Do you do any of the Bible studies, ladies? We have a couple different ladies seminar. Do you come to any of those things? Do you come to any of the special events and banquets? Do you stay for church fellowships in any way? Four or five of those throughout the year. Do you participate with soul winning and visitation at all during the year with the church programs? Do you do any of that? I mean, we could just keep giving a lot. Do you come to the missions program, missions conference? Do you come to revival services? Do you come to any special events like the Bearing Precious Seed and the John and Romans? I mean, not everybody could come to everything, and that's not a sign of spirituality, but how connected are you to your local church? Do you serve in any ministries here? These are just events. Do you serve? Do you teach? Do you minister? Do you help? Do you volunteer? Is there something you're involved in that you do? The more connections and strings you have, the more connected you are to the local church. Imagine if you just had one string. All it takes is this. You're gone. You know, there's a lot of people that are not that connected to the local church, and only one little thing, you'll never see them again. They're not really connected. Something will happen, they're gone. All right? It doesn't take much. Boom. Two connections. Now, the more connections you have, the more you're involved with people serving and ministering. You could get your feelings hurt, but if you're teaching a kids' class, you ought to love those kids. You ought to pray for those kids. And even though you might be tempted to leave because the flesh says to leave because you got your feelings hurt, I would think a person would say, I'm not leaving for them. I love them. There's not even a doctrinal reason to leave. I love them too much. What? That's a deep connection. Some people are not no connection at all. All right? In any way. And they're just here, they're gone, and that's okay. God wants you to be part of a local church. How connected? How involved are you? I don't believe that God saved us to sit on the sidelines. I don't believe God saved us just to sit and soak. I don't believe God's design is for us just to come, even if we come faithfully, and take in week after week Bible preaching, Bible teaching, personal devotions, listen to the preaching, read Christian books, and our spiritual head just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But what are we doing with that? We should be channels. If you've been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you should have so much wisdom and experience in walking with God. You say, there's so many, I want to give that to somebody, pour that into people. Let me tell you what I've learned after 40 years of reading the Bible. Let me tell you what I've learned in studying the Scriptures. Let me tell you what I've learned in parenting and staying steady for the Lord and the ups and downs in life. And I want to pour that into some. We right now, we could probably have 12 people right now being discipled full time. Someone says, I'm willing to disciple. There's a commitment to that. I'm willing to meet weekly, once a week. Now, again, sometimes the folks who are being discipled don't always show up. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to sacrifice time and involvement and to pray and to meet and take them through a booklet and study the Scriptures to help them grow in the Lord. Help them take that next step spiritually. Answer their questions about life and prayer and sin and what's going on and the Bible doesn't make sense. And you've got that there. You have that experience. You have that wisdom. You've done it before. How connected are you? How connected are you to our missionaries here? How connected you are to communicate with them? How about other people? Hospitality, having people in, visitors, strangers, other people. You could go on and on and on about all the different things we have here. And the question is, how many strings of connection do you personally have? Now, you can have every string of every event and be unsaved. You can do everything and come to every event and have a cold heart. You can come to every one of those and be just a miserable, wretched, critical mess. So just because you have all that, but I'm saying though, as a child of God who understands the program God has and the purpose of the church and the privilege, there ought to be some connections. There ought to be some things you're excited about as much as possible. There ought to be some things you desire to get involved in. God saved us that we would have a deep personal relationship with Him. To know, you can't have deep personal relationships with anybody unless there's a lot of time spent. You can't have any deep relationship with anybody that you don't really know. God saved us to know Him personally, to love Him, to walk with Him, to magnify Him, to serve Him, to have a desire to know Him even more. A lot of churches have this as their theme, and it's a great theme, to know Him and to make Him known. You've heard that. What do we do at this church? We want to know Him, and then we want to make Him known to everybody else. I mean, that's a pretty good theme. That sums up the Bible Christianity, I believe. We want to know him deeper and more personally, and then we're going to make him known to as many people as possible. Be magnified like the Lord Jesus Christ. We read the Bible and you can't get over that the time is now. You can't get over the fact, I mean, why would God gift every believer the moment you get saved at least one spiritual gift? I mean, that's an incredible thing that a lot of folks just, I mean, the Bible clearly teaches that. You've been given a special gift. They're all different. There's diversity in the gifts and diversity in that, but one Spirit, and they're given to us to minister and to serve primarily through the local church. I mean, that's an incredible, some have more than one gift. To whom much is given, much is required. I believe that's a primary thing we're going to answer for at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of what we've done with those things. Have we done it for the Lord, served for the Lord? Have we said, Lord, use it? We have a wonderful privilege to do those things. Go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 as we wrap it up here. You're in the book of Romans. You're going to go a little bit to your right, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 here. Ephesians chapter number 2. I know a lot of times folks will say, well, I just don't feel worthy. I just don't think I can do anything. But if you knew my past, I really wouldn't be able to teach or do anything, right? I just don't think I could. My personality, and they base it on lots of things. You know, I'm not outgoing. I'm introverted. I'm quiet. I'm reserved. I don't really like people. Well, you're going to struggle a little bit then with the Christian life since Christian life is about people, all right? But that's okay because God didn't save you to keep you the way you were. He wants to change you. But let him change you in that area, all right? Let him change you in that area. He's gracious. He's kind. Not everybody has the same ministry. Not everybody has the same gifts. We need not look around and get envious or be boastful or pray. The Bible talks about that. Well, I'll just say, hallelujah, I want to serve the Lord however he's given me. All right, and I'm willing to do it. Ephesians chapter 2, we see here, what? Salvation, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Have you received that gift? It's free. Not of works, not of your own works and actions, lest any man should boast. But look at verse 10. Verse 10 is after salvation. Verses 8 and 9 is salvation, justification. Verse 10 is sanctification. Now what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What? Absolutely. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in those. Absolutely. It's impossible to be saved and sit on the sidelines and really honor the Lord. He said one of the purposes is this is to do good works for his honor and glory in the service. To magnify him, to minister and to serve. Wow, that's an important truth there. Go to a chapter over, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Here it's talking about the body of Christ. Look at verse 4, Ephesians 4, 4. For there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given, here's another gift, grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God's a great giver. You got a lot when you got saved. It wasn't just eternal life. You study the gifts. God, there's a lot of things. You got the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're sealed to the day of redemption. You got at least one spiritual gift to be used for his honor and glory. There's a number of gifts that God gave out the moment you were saved. Drop down a little bit later in that chapter. Look at verse 11. And he gave, more giving. What did he give? Some apostles. That's in the past, no longer done. Prophets, that's in the past. We don't need that anymore. We have the whole Bible. And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. This is referring to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, how long do we do that? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, that just means spiritually complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, how do we know we arrived at that? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Well, how do you know if you're a child spiritually? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. That's how you know if you're spiritually mature. Yeah, one little thing will set you off. One little thing will almost ruin your faith. You'll live always by your emotions. You saw one little thing on TV. Some preacher supposedly said something. You read a little article. Almost threw you. Oh, that's a sign of a child. Inconsistent. Constantly gullible. Oh. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. There's a small look in at the program of the church, some of the offices that God has gifted and designed. The whole purpose of the church is for the perfecting and spiritual maturity of the believers, the saints, for the work of the ministry. We're the ones that are supposed to be doing that. For the edifying of the body of Christ. How do we know if we're done? Till we've all reached spiritual maturity. That hadn't happened. That's not going to happen. All right? So we continually serve and work with joy for the Lord. That is the privilege we have. That is the purpose God has given us. We'll go back to Romans 13 as we wrap it up where we started. You say, wait a minute. So Paul's telling the church at Rome it's time to get busy. Wake out of sleep. What kind of sleep? Spiritual slumber. Spiritual slumber. But does it really matter? Aren't we all going to heaven if you're saved? It does matter, though. Not all are saved. Not all have heard. Not all know what love is. Not all know what compassion is and kindness. Not all have character and truth of the Word of God. No, so we still work. So what was the challenge, the same challenge today, verse 11? And that now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, that's spiritual sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Again, that's a play, that's a reverse of our first verse, John 9. All right, it's the opposite. Here the idea is the church, look, the sun is now dawning. We've got today, we got to work, we got to do it. Well, it's similar truth, but a little bit different. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You say, well, okay, what do we need to do? Can I finish with this? Look at chapter 14, verse 1. You know, in every church, there's weak and strong Christians. Chapter 14, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. You know what? Here today, we have weak believers. They're weak in the faith. Their faith is weak. It could be that they've just trusted Christ. It could be that they've trusted Christ for years and they're still weak in the faith. There's people in the church that are weak in the faith. Chapter 15, verse 1. Everybody there? Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong. You know, in churches, there's people weak in the faith and there's people strong. Well, what are we supposed to do if we're strong spiritually? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves. Now that's a challenge because I want to please myself. And so do you. I want to just come in after a busy week and I just want to sit. And I want to soak. And I don't want to think about problems and people. Sorry. We then, maybe we're not strong then. Maybe we're weak. We then that are strong and have a strong relationship with the Lord ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The vast majority of the unsaved world wants to please themselves. God saved us to please Him. Look at the next verse, verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Look around where you're sitting. You might say, good, no neighbors. Well, we don't all get along. We're all a little bit different, ornery. We don't think the same. Exactly. For every one of us, let us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Why? Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus Christ? Christ didn't come to earth to please himself. He didn't come down to say, I'm going to do what I'm comfortable doing. He left comfortable. And he came down to this sin-cursed world. And he laid aside his deity to serve and to minister. That's not easy. But even Christ did that, and he's called us to do that. And in churches, there's those weak, there's those strong, there's carnal believers. There's some that may we think are saved that are not. Our time is up. The last chapter of Romans, though, lists many names of people that are in the church or in local churches that were serving and ministering. And the Apostle Paul commended them. Actually, God commended them through the Apostle Paul. People that were ministering and serving. I'm sure that these people here were not all the same. There were probably some people very, very quiet. There were probably some introverts and some extroverts. There were some outgoing people. There were some people there that may have been old, may have been young. But there was a huge group of people. And he starts verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. That's a lady. I don't know her, but you know what? She must have really served. She was a great blessing. Paul, the Holy Spirit points her out, verse 2. She was a great blessing. She received saints. She was a great helper of the church. Wow. How about Priscilla and Aquila? Did you ever read about them, verse 3? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4, though. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. Have you ever done that for anybody? I'm talking about they're about to die for the cause of Christ. And whom not I only give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They were involved in many churches, but keep reading verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Hey, let me tell you something. If you've ever tried to have church in your house, that's not fun. If you're the host, that's a lot of work. I mean, people coming in, setting up chairs, food, blah, blah. Hey, Priscilla and Aquila, what a blessing, what a help to this church and to all the churches, and even the church that meets in their house. And maybe they were wealthy enough to do that. Wow, that's not easy. They're serving the Lord. You can read this chapter and see all kind of names you didn't even know were in the Bible. Fellow helpers, fellow laborers, kinsmen, beloved, the saints. They've worked, they've labored, they've served. Praise God. It takes everybody. Let's serve the Lord. That is exciting. And then there's one word of warning. And we'll wrap it up with that, verses 17 and 18. Because even in every believer church, there's always some that don't want to do it. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. You're supposed to do that? Uh-huh. Mark them. Note them. Spiritually discern them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. It means their own desires. And by good words, notice it doesn't say bad words, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Do you know in every church you have simple-minded people? Simple. Doesn't mean they're foolish. They're just simple. They're very gullible. They're easily led astray. Sometimes they're very emotional. Sometimes read about the simple throughout the book of Proverbs. People, by their good speech and fair words, can pull people aside. Not from the Bible has all the answers for churches. Note them. Avoid them. There's discipline that needs to be done. Be careful. There's some that are weak. There's some that are strong. There's some that are wise. There's some that are foolish. There's some that are saved. There may even be some that are not saved. Makes up a church. You never know. All right? There may be those that name the name of Christ and we believe are saved and they're not. Be careful. Be careful. But build the church. Don't quit. Praise God for all the people that make it run. God has a purpose for the church and the program. And the question is, how involved and connected are you? And if you're not, do you have a desire to be? Because if you've been uncomfortable, you've been on the bench for years, you're going to want to stay there. If you've been in the stand for years, you don't want to come down from there. You're content to let other people in the game. They don't need me. Lie of the devil. I'm not that. I can't do what they do. Lie of the devil. Listen to your flesh. Let the Bible do it. How connected are you? Do you have a desire to be connected? As you know, every church has ministries. Every church has needs. Every church has ministries that are not even current ministries that could be a ministry. Someone said, I'll take that ministry. I've got a burden for that nursing home. I drive by it every day. It's like 100 people in there. I wonder if anybody goes in there. Well, we don't have one of those to our church. I guess we won't do it. Pastor, God's laid this upon my heart. What do you think about this? I'm normally going to say, yep. All right? But don't come and say someone needs to do that, all right? Hey, Pastor, somebody needs to. Great. Are you somebody? Hey, I got a burden. We don't have that ministry. I've really got a burden. I see these kids every morning. I drive to school and I see boys and girls lined up in Duryea. I go to the hospital and I see shut-ins. And what about our widow? There's ministries. There's always ministries. God has a ministry for you. It could be one right here. Every church has ministries that need help. So we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to have an invitation in just a second. And when I dismiss today, I'm going to dismiss some people first, and they're going to go out. They already know who they are. And I want everybody to leave today by going out this way. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go out that exit door, all right? I just mean I want you to go into the foyer before you leave if you go out that door, all right? Now, if you have an appointment, you got to be somewhere, that's fine, all right? There are going to be a couple tables set up out there. And there's going to be some signs of some different ministries here at the church. And so I want you to go out there, and I want you to hopefully go by a ministry. Now, you may already be involved in that ministry. That's great. You may be involved in many ministries, and right now you're great. God doesn't have anything else for you. You're where you're at. That's great. You may even have to come and say, I need to take a step back, and that's fine sometimes. All right? But there's some ministries out here. Now, every table will have someone that sort of, doesn't mean they're the head person of that ministry, but they know enough about it, they can answer your questions. They may have a little handout to give you there. There's some criteria for some of the ministries. Obviously, there are a few ministries you can do that you do not have to be a member. Church cleaning is a simple one. It's an easy one. Anybody can do that. We appreciate all those that are involved in church cleaning. We don't pay anybody to do the church. We have sign-ups. And typically, you do it once a month. The more people you do it, the less you have to do it, all right? The easy one, great for families, great for children. Come and you take a section of the church and you clean. You can go out there and talk to that and get on that church schedule. The nursery. A lot of the ministries, you're going to have to be a member for purpose. There's a reason for that. All right? You got to be a member. That gives us a sound doctrine that we're committed onto here. If you're going to be a member of this church, you've got to, number one, be saved. You've got to, number two, have followed the Lord and believers' baptism. Number three, you've got to have a pattern of faithfulness. Does that mean there's members that are all other members faithful? No, there's members that are unfaithful. But to be a member, you should be faithful to church services and the ministry, if at all possible. All right? And then they need to be able to count on you. You have a desire to be involved in that. All right? That's an important thing. So they'll answer your questions. You want to be in the choir or get involved in the music. You want to, we need some teachers. We always need teachers for junior church and or helpers. You say, I can't do that. All right? What does it take? Can I get involved in that? What do I need to do? Those kind of things. And what about ushering or helping with security? There'll be seven or eight different stands, tables out there. If you're involved in plenty of stuff, it doesn't mean you have to go by there, all right? But we would like you, if you have an interest, the sound booth is one of those. If you have an interest, God's piqued your heart, you say, I really want to get involved. That's something that I could maybe see myself in doing, but I don't know what you got to do. Do you have any commitment? What do you got to do? Can anybody do that? They'll be able to tell you those things. They'll give you a sheet of paper. If you have a serious interest, they'll write your name down. You can find out more information by speaking to them or speaking to my wife or someone that's in charge of that ministry. If you have a burden, you say, well, none of that stuff I want to do, all right? We have a table out there that you can sit at. No, I'm kidding, all right? If you have something that God's burdened your heart about, you say, Pastor, we used to do this back in the 80s. Great, let me know about it. Pastor, we used to have this being run. Every month we find out stuff that we don't know everything that was done right here. All right, you say, oh, wait, no one ever told us that. Well, it's nice to know that, all right? Well, do we want to do that again? That's great, we can do that again. What would you like to do? All right, now there are criteria. There's standards. We believe strongly if you're in a position of spiritual leadership, there'll be high standards in that area. Read the Bible. High standards for qualifications for pastors and deacons. Very high. All right? Why? Because God, that's how God works. He works through spiritual leadership. Not that we're perfect, but every spiritual leader, anybody that's in spiritual leadership here, ought to be able to say to anybody else, follow me. Spiritually. You ought to be able to do that. That's exactly why God has such high standards. Boys and girls, follow me. I mean, you said, no, we don't do that. Read throughout the Bible. Paul, follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, that's what God's designed. You ought to be able to follow the pastor in your spiritual walk, the pastor's wife. You ought to be able to follow every deacon and deacon's wife. You ought to be able to pattern your life after them because they have a walk with God. They're not perfect. They have high testimony, high character, sound in doctrine, a walk with God. And you ought to be able to say, follow them. Anybody in a leadership position ought to be faithful, ought to have sound doctrine and believe what the church believes here. We can't have you teaching Calvinism in a class. We don't agree with that. We can't have you teaching that the church goes through the tribulation. We don't agree with that here. We can't have you introducing things that's not sound doctrine. So there are criteria for certain positions, and especially in leadership positions, and especially if you're teaching people underneath you. All right? And they do that at work. You're held to a higher position if you're a manager, if you're the owner. I mean, absolutely. God's people all do the same thing. Doesn't mean it's a standard of spirituality. You can be in any position to be a fake and a hypocrite and not spiritual. But it should be your walk with the Lord that others can follow and walk with. There's lots of ministries here. We'd love to have more going, more started. There's some basic criteria. Some of you, it may just be walk with God, become more faithful, be a little bit more ground. Let's see what God has. Start at a beginner's easy level of church cleaning, getting involved here, doing this. There's no qualifications in the Bible for church cleaning. There's no spiritual qualifications for ushering. I didn't give any spiritual qualifications to be able to do some things other than just be saved, be faithful, have a desire to do that. Can we count on you? All right, absolutely. That's some great things. So I'm going to go ahead at this time. I'm going to dismiss any of those that are going to be one of those leaders at the tables, let you sneak out there. They're going to set up a couple things. So I think everybody there knows who they are. We'll let them slip out. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and this will be just a silent, if you would, invitation. We will have a pianist come up and play, but I'm going to let them get up there and get settled out there. It's a little bit different, all right? In fact, I've never done it before. Maybe it's never been done around here before. That's fine. All right, but we're going to shuttle you out there a little bit, and I'd really like everybody, if possible, to go out there and go by one of the tables, and maybe, again, you might say, hey, right now I'm involved in this, 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 and this, and I can't take on something new. And that's perfectly fine, all right? It could be, though, that you've been thinking, you might say, you know, I've been having some health problems that I'm really starting to consider stepping down, but I don't have anybody to replace me. And, well, maybe it would be, we find out, and we say, hey, let us know, and so let's take 3, 4, 5 months. You can train this person, and maybe slowly throughout the year shift yourself out if you've got some health issues and things that need to take you out. That would be great. Would you be willing to work with that person? Let's sort of train them. Let them follow you. That would be great, all right? So let's have a word of invitation, a word of prayer. If you need Christ, you can trust Christ even now today. You can come to the front. I'd love to pray with you. We'd love to match you up with a lady or a man if you need to trust Jesus Christ. If you have questions about membership or baptism, you can see me after the service. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I pray now. It's a different message. It was preached in its entirety to God's people, the redeemed. But Lord, the Bible says now's the time. Lord, if we're going to get involved in the service of the Lord, we've got to do it right now. Lord, I know there's things going on, not everybody with work schedules and health schedules, but Lord, if someone has a desire, I believe you can make those things possible. Lord, during this brief invitation, if you've pricked the heart of anybody in here today, the area of salvation, trusting Christ, the area of being faithful, the area, Lord, that maybe they're not that connected, they're not that involved. Lord, the fact that maybe they shy away from being among people and serving and ministering. Lord, perhaps it's something a little different, a ministry that you've been pricking their heart about, maybe for years, maybe just for a month or two, that you've really burdened their heart about, maybe starting and running it and ministering. Lord, I pray we'd be open to the Word of God. Lord, may everyone here today say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is you'd want me to do. Holy Spirit, prick hearts, I pray, prick mine. May this church serve you, minister for your honor and glory, faithfully with joy until you're finished with us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the piano is going to play. Has God worked in your heart? Has there been something God's been tugging at your heart about ministry-wise? Is there something you used to do even way back, maybe when you were just out of high school? Maybe you haven't done it for years. God's been putting upon your heart. Maybe you see boys and girls and you have a burden to go in there and help them and pray and teach. Maybe there's a ministry that you know that this church needs to do and you say, God's wanting me to sort of start it up, to run it, to oversee it. Maybe you need to speak with someone about that myself today. Maybe you've got to become faithful so that you can get serious about being a member, holding sound doctrine, growing in the Lord so that you can get involved. I don't know what it may be. Maybe it's letting go of some things that are hindering you spiritually in your testimony, walk with God. Wrong relationships where you're not right with brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe there's areas you could not tell children to follow you because, well, you're not following the Lord. I don't know what it may be, but would you just surrender to the Lord? Would you say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. No conditions. I'm wide open. I'm willing to do whatever the Lord would have me to do. Lord, take and use this church for your honor and glory. We're so grateful for many who are faithful in serving you, some for many, many years. Lord, it may well be that, Lord, they're looking for someone to come alongside that they can train, answer questions, and sort of transition out of it, Lord, because of health, because of time constraints, because of burdens. Lord, I know that you've given us enough people in this church to serve you faithfully. And you've designed the local church to minister, share the gospel. And Lord, if you've tugged at hearts, I pray they'd be willing to act on it. Now, Lord, give us a wonderful time as we leave. I pray we'd mingle, welcome one another in the Lord, have a wonderful afternoon. Bring us back tonight, eager to serve and to minister, to hear the word of God preached, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.